Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today my guest is Barbara Gahn Mueller. She is an author, motivational speaker, visionary leader, and a global peace entrepreneur. In 2015, for the United Nations 70th anniversary, she addressed the United Nations Assembly in New York City and received the Spirit of the UN Award. With her late husband, Dr. Robert Mueller, former Assistant Secretary General of the UN, she co-authored the book 7,500 Ideas for a Better World, which is shared daily on goodmorningworld.org. Barbara is the founder of the Gahn Global Public Relations, now in its 25th year, and is the co-author of the book Revolutionary Conversations, The Tools You Need for Success You Want. This short bio doesn't begin to describe the dynamic, passionate, spiritually aware, and awake woman that Barbara is. She listens closely to her keen intuition, letting herself be guided by faith and with the help of her guardian angels, while she focuses her work on bringing peace to her community, the nation, and the entire global village. Barbara teaches us how peace can be found in traumatic situations, how we can be the peace others need to try, the peace others need in trying situations, and the ways we can promote healing through conversation. Barbara, welcome to the program. Interviewing you has got to be the most fun I have had in a long time. I'm so pleased to have you on the show.
I am equally as pleased to be on your show. No one has ever gotten into my soul like you have today. My soul and my heart and my lips are smiling. Thank you.
Oh, it's my great pleasure. You are quite the woman. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
You have so much to share and so much to tell. And I have to tell the audience, Barbara and I, we're like, you know, separated at birth in so many ways. And we're also the same age. This woman sent a picture over, and oh, my God.
thank you.
Just beautiful and young and vibrant. You know, you make me feel good that, you know, our age, it's not really over yet, you know.
No. I think we live in decades of wisdom, and we have that wisdom inside. And I never thought old was awful. I always thought old was the wisdom keeper. And
yes.
So my smile has always been with me. And I learned from others. I learned from my aunt who had lots of health problems. And she said, I'm fabulous. And I said, I know you are, Aunt Mary. What's your secret? She says, I smile.
Yes. Isn't that wonderful? That is so wonderful. There's so much. There's so much to talk about with you. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. When we started the interview, and I was doing the pre-interview, you were telling me that your humble beginnings when you lived in California in government housing.
Right.
Would you start there, please?
And I would.
It's an amazing story how you say you met the first African American, the first time you saw an African American,
first time you saw a person with black skin.
Yes.
And you know, my dad didn't have a job, and they had government housing. And so it was in right by the beach, and I thought, oh, we have died and gone to heaven. There's the ocean. But it was government housing, those old clapboard houses. And I remember walking around there, and one day a black man came, a beautiful black man. Well, I had never seen a black man. I lived in this kind of Hungarian community of nice people, and he was wonderful, but I got scared, and I ran in the house, and fortunately, my dad was home, and I said, Dad, something's happened to this man, and he said, Honey, he's just black, like you're brown, I'm kind of white, and he's just black, but he's a human being, and I said, boy, do I have a lot to learn, and this is me at 3 years of age, and that's where my learning began.
Well, that's where your passion for peace and mm-hmm. for equality and humanity and all the wonderful things that you've been working with for all these years, it's so inspiring. Your story starting with your grandfather and your Hungarian roots and your mom being a foster mom. You want to tell us briefly about like all of the things in your childhood that oriented you to really embracing and loving humanity?
Well, it started with my grandparents. All of us are from Hungary. They immigrated in 1917, my grandfather, to avoid World War I. And when he got to the United States, he said, you know why I'm here? Because I'm not going to let my family be killed in a senseless war. And he said, I saw the coffin maker in my town kind of stacking up the coffins. And I said, what are you doing? Here I am, I'm a 17-year-old, and this guy is making coffins. And he said, you watch, we're going to need them. That scared my grandfather half to death. And he left that minute, and he got his $5 in his pocket and got all the way to the United States on Ellis Island. And that's the beginning of the story. My grandmother, her husband committed suicide. She came, the other grandmother, my dad's mother. She came to the United States. Everybody from Hungary left because they were afraid of war. And when they got here, they were so joyful. They almost kissed the ground that they were in a free country, a country with vision and a possibility. And my grandfather would always say to me, now, Barbara, when you grow up, you're going to be a peacemaker. And I'd say, okay, Grandpa, but what am I going to do now? Collect stamps. You need to know that you're part of a world, a global world. And I said, a global world, okay. And so I began to collect stamps, and he got the big globe out, and I had to point where things were. And then he would go every single year after the war, and he would take things to our relatives in Hungary. And I was very close to that whole way of being. So I apologize. The phone is ringing here, and I don't know how to stop these people from calling me, God bless them.
Well, don't worry about it.
All right, I won't. But my family was my rock. My grandparents adored me, and we were Hungarian, so we could cook, and we cooked, and we cooked. If you broke an egg or you had a first communion, it was time to eat, and they made the most beautiful food. Food was kind of our settling down around the table and getting to know each other, and we ate a lot of good Hungarian food. And a lot of different homes, because there was a little park in San Diego called Balboa Park. And we had the Hungarian house. And I would go there, and all these Hungarian ladies would say, oh, you're so cute, and pinch my cheek. Now you're going to work for peace. They all wanted peace. I had no choice.
So this goes back to the conversation. You and I share this love for your angels. You have guardian angels, and anybody who listens to this show knows it's a theme throughout the interviews. You said to me that you listen, and you listen to your intuition, and you know that you are surrounded by the winged wonders, as I call them.
Oh, and sometimes they come in human form. I surround myself with people who are very spiritually oriented. They have written books, like this one book, one of my masters is Masters, Messages from the Ancestors, Wisdom for the Way. I read that all the time, and it's from Mary Ellen Kelly, who is no longer with us, yet she is with us, you know? Mm-hmm. And my husband and I, Robert, when I were out speaking, we say, if you have a dream, ask the unemployed saints and all your angels to help you, and it will come true.
Absolutely. Incredible. I mean, we could do a whole show about angels. Now, you and I want to share this because this is kind of fun. People sometimes say, where do these people get this orientation about angels? You and I were both raised Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
We both,
you
were in Catholic schools. I was in Catholic schools. I was in a convent, actually, at one point. I have a picture of me in a nun's outfit. It's just incredible. So we had this orientation. And what we discovered is that this is real, and it's really happening, that there are these incredible helpers. And yes, they come in human form. They come in the form of dogs. They come in the form of you know, kind of energies and kind of invisible.
And knowing. A kind of knowing. They give us a hint. I don't know how to describe it, but I bet you'll help me. There's a knowing. You have a knowing in you. I say, if I don't have a little coincidence happening or some little miracle, what have I done wrong today? I mean, these things just happen. And the angels are there. The other day, I was so busy thinking about my United Nations Association board meeting that I went and turned right. I always turn right, but I went on the wrong street. I was on Santa Barbara Street, and I should have been on Anacapa. I was on a one-way street going the wrong way.
Oh,
my
no.
Angels immediately woke me up. The cars are coming. I just backed up so like nothing had happened. And so many times, there's a bicyclist who gets in my way, and I don't see him because of the sun. And the angel moves the bicyclist over. I am so lucky. I am so lucky. And I trust these angels.
Yes, you're very blessed, Barbara, obviously.
I am.
You know, do you agree with this? I think the more you focus in on the positive, the more the positive focuses in on you. Because you and I were talking about there are light angels and there are dark angels. And most people really don't value the lessons learned and the opportunities provided by the hurtful or the dark angels. They really give us an enormous opportunity to really look deep inside, to examine ourselves, and to examine what we're focusing on.
Boy, is that a profound statement. I tell you, all my friends who go through, including Henry Oster, who was last of the Holocaust survivors, they go through these horrors. He was one of the 14 boys who was saved from the atrocities and put in a camp where he had to do farming from morning to night. And I kept saying, how did you survive? He said, because I wanted to survive. I did what I needed to do, and I survived. And I said, what can you teach me? And I've always interviewed people because I wanted to know what makes them tick. Why are they so happy? And he said, we no longer have the luxury of willful blindness. If the United, and I can't go into all of that because it would have taken me another hour, but he said, if we pay attention, we must pay attention. We are the miracle that the world has been waiting for, and it's our turn to bring peace on our planet. This is from a Holocaust survivor, and he's one of the happiest men I know.
Absolutely. I interviewed this incredible rabbi, and it's posted on the radio station. It's just absolutely a phenomenal, phenomenal interview with him. And he tells a Holocaust story that literally I started, you know, I've been doing this many, many, many years. I've never cried on air. I cried. It was so moving.
Course.
But talking about on air, we haven't even talked about your radio show. You've got so, Barbara, you've got so much stuff going on that it's kind of like we would need like three interviews to get it on.
Tell us about your radio show. Yeah, all these things that you're telling me about myself are just me living my life to the fullest. You know, if I had a magic wand, I'd tell everybody, do you realize the chances of you being born were so slight to slender? And you're alive. You're here now. What are you focusing? What is your brain telling you? And what do you think we need to do? My late husband, Dr. Robert Mueller, would always say, focus on the world you want. Focus on the things you want. And just watch. Watch how your life starts to bring you happiness. Sometimes people ask me, why are you so happy? I say, because I pay attention to what makes me happy. And if I find something that makes me happy, then I do more of it. I like writing my books. I love talking on the radio with you. And so I do more of what I enjoy. And then I say, well, that's my destiny. My destiny was to use what God gave me, my voice, and my abilities to spread the word that peace is possible and happiness is the result of you being on your own destiny, like you are. I loved our interview this morning. I just felt like I got to know my sister here. And we pick our family. Pick those people who shout your values. Don't hang around with the naysayers unless you have time. I don't really have time. I teach them. I really like you. I really want to work with you, so help me. What would you like me to know about you? And then I pay attention, and if there's something we can do together, then we have that revolutionary conversation, just like my book. And if we can, sometimes you have to exit left, because I have a time on this planet for me to do the work that I was destined to do.
Yes, and isn't that the rub? The rub is we don't know how long we have, you know, it's like, you know, but at our age, we're hoping, you know, we're calculating we'll get another 10 years. But after that, it starts to get dicey. Do you get 10? Do you get 15? Do you get 20? You know, my dad died at 101, so, you know, I've got a little wiggle room. But who knows, Barbara? So you are taking every minute it and making the best of it. You're doing so many wonderful things. I mean, you've done so many. You're still doing so many. Barbara,
Thank you. Tell us,
like right now, what are you doing? And we have to hear about your radio show. But after you tell us what you are doing, we're going to come back. We have to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about your radio show, okay?
Thank you.
So why don't you start to tell us what you're currently doing?
I'm currently working as the I'm an author, obviously. I'm writing a new book, Revolutionary Conversations, The Time for Peace Is Now. And I have my co-authors, and I do podcasts. I also have the Rotary E-Club of World Peace, where I interview peacemakers. And in 2016, we were able to interview 150 peacemakers for the conference, the Rotary World Peace Conference, where 1,500 people showed up. And these are my wisdom keepers. These are who I learn from. How lucky I am that I have the gift to listen and the gift to have a conversation that can move us both forward and learn that joy that that person brings to me. It's amazing how many people out there don't experience the joy they were destined for. Did you ever hear this saying, God's going to say when you die, how much joy did you experience? Well, that's my motto. How much joy did I experience? And I'm talking authentic joy. And it really works for me.
Wow. Let's talk about that. We're going to cut to the break in 2 minutes, but talk about authentic joy. That's wonderful.
Authentic joy is where your heart sings. You are on target. You know that what you're doing is exactly what you need to do. You know that the people you're talking to are exactly the people you need to talk to. Your intuition, your unemployed saint, your angels tell you that authentic joy just makes you sing. It makes you full of enthusiasm. All my life, people have said to me, "You're so enthusiastic." And I said, "Well, thank you. If I believe in something, I let people know about it with enthusiasm."
Yes, and you've been on fire since you were a girl, as far as I can see. did you ever have a period where you were not on fire and you were not enthusiastic?
I think it was junior high school. I wasn't quite sure who I was. And then I went to high school, and I had the privilege. I don't know if you went to an all-girls Catholic high school, but I did. And it was called Rosary High, and that allowed us, all girls, to become the leaders. There were no men around. They did not take over and boss us around or take over the leadership roles. We became the leaders that we were waiting for. And all of us, we just had our 50-something reunion, and I'm looking at these women, and I'm thinking, you girls, you all look fabulous. You're all doing things that your life is meant to be. And it's just unbelievable. If you are given the chance to experience the joy you're supposed to experience and the reason you were born.
Yes, isn't that true? You know, I have a friend, excuse me, and his girlfriend is around our age. And, you know, and he says, you know, she looks kind of tired. And I said, that's because she's not doing what she wants and what she loves. As we get older, I think it's as we get older, seriously. Have you noticed how many women look great these days? Because they're in their 60s, they're in their 70s, they're in their 80s, and they look great because they're living their lives. They're living that authenticity of doing what they're called to do. So it's really quite, what you're saying is quite wonderful. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Want to hear about your radio show. So much to talk about.
Thank you.
Listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Barbara.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325, 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
And we are back with Barbara Gahn-Muller, who is, oh my God, she is the visionary, global peace entrepreneur, beyond compare. I'm really so excited to be speaking with her and to have had an opportunity to spend a lot of time talking with her earlier. So, Barbara, you've got books that you're writing, you're mm-hmm. speaking, you're lecturing, you've got organizations that you've been working with, and I mean, you've got so much to tell us about. Start with the radio show, and then tell us about the Gahn Global Public Relations. And
sure will. Absolutely.
So many different things.
You know, it seems like I've done a lot, but in reality, I've just been alive. I've been alive to the opportunities. When you are alive and you're paying attention, so much comes your way. Let's go back to my radio podcast. Every Tuesday night at 6:30 California time, Pacific time, I interview one of the people on our planet who is really trying to work for peace, and it's for the Rotary E-Club of World Peace. Rotary E-Club of worldpeace.org is an organization that I founded with Rudy Westervelt and Mark Fowler. In 2016, prior to that, we spent 4 years pulling together people in the conference for the Rotary World Peace Conference in Ontario. And putting those people together, I said, wait a minute, these are hot people. They are doing their life's destiny. They're working in sex trafficking, human trafficking, survival after being in the war.
And all of these people, and I'm not talking about one person, two, I'm talking 150 peacemakers from around the world. And I said, I have to do a podcast. I do a podcast with anybody who will be on for 15 minutes. So when you come to this conference, you will have listened to some of the speakers you think you want to go to their sessions. Like Mark Fowler did a session on peace in the workplace. Noel McDonald was his partner. And that place was packed. I did a session on peace in your home. How do you find peace in a home that's divided or filled with strife? And I talk about this, my husband's book, Most of All, They Taught Me Happiness. And in there, he has a chapter on this woman whose husband was having an affair. And she said, I'm not letting him ruin my happiness. If he wants to have an affair, he can have it. I'm having a home and children and a good life. And so she went out, and pretty soon he gave up his affair, came home and said, I'm so sorry. And so many people don't know that they don't have to get divorced because something goes wrong. You know, pay attention. Live your life to the fullest.
Wow. That is so impactful and very, very dynamic. So you are interviewing all of these peacemakers, mm-hmm. and you're creating podcasts of them.
Uh-huh. And they're on that Rote website.
Can anybody go and listen?
Absolutely. Rotary E-Club of World Peace. You can go to that one for the current podcast. You can join us at 6:30 every single Tuesday night Pacific time. Just go on Zoom. Just go to the Rotary E-Club of World Peace. Go on Zoom and click and join us. You can be a guest. You can just listen. You're on a Zoom program. Now, the Rotary Peace Conference was peaceconference.net. That peaceconference.net is also where you can listen to the 150 podcasts we did, and all the pictures of the people are there. And my gift is I can listen, talk, and get the soul of the person I'm talking to. I get into their essence. And after interviewing all of these people, every question I asked in the beginning was around, what is peace? Is peace possible? And they all said, yes, and it begins with me. And starts with the conversation. And that is my motto. Peace begins with me and starts with the conversation. I don't care if I'm in the grocery store. Sometimes I'll pick the longest line in the grocery store so I can be a moment of peace and see who needs me at that in the grocery store line. Possibly somebody beside me is going through something, so I'll mention it. I'll say, oh, I see you've got a dozen eggs there. Are you making an omelet? No. I'm going, and I say, oh, well, tell me more. And all of a sudden, this person is alive. They see me here. I was telling you earlier about I was in a line at getting my new license yesterday at the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles. And the guy in front of me was tattooed up the yin-yang. And I said, oh, my gosh, didn't that hurt? And he just looked at me and smiled. He was so happy I paid attention to him. And he said, no, it didn't hurt at all. You want to see the one that hurt? And he lifted up his shirt, and there was this gigantic tattoo on his belly. And I said, I don't know how you guys go through it, but God bless you. And I bet you're so proud of them. So I'm going to say, go for it. If you like your tattoos, enjoy it. But I had that moment with somebody, and he was real.
Yes, and isn't it wonderful when we're able to touch people in that immediate and authentic way? Now, you listed one of the things that you discuss and one of the things that you won the Spirit of the UN Award for is how mm-hmm. peace can be found in traumatic situations. Now, in the pre-interview, you were telling me of the fires and everything that was going on out in California not long ago. Do you want to talk about that and how peace can be found in the traumatic situations?
Oh, I would be honored to do that. Do you know about Thrive Global, the new podcast and article enzymes for Arianna Huffington? Well, she has come out with Thrive Global, and anybody online or listening to you today can go to Thrive Global and go to Finding Peace in Trauma. It's an article that I wrote, and how we found peace among the flames and mudslides of Santa Barbara. Now, these are horrible situations. Our fires raged on and on and on. We had 273,400 acres burned in these,
wow.
this destructive march across the Ventura, Summerlin, into Montecito. It was so horrible that the ash in my patio was 2 inches thick, and I'm 10 miles from the fire.
Wow.
It was like everything was ash and horror. So my grandfather and my dad both said, watch out if there's fires. My dad was a fireman, and he said, that smoke from fires can kill you. So I said, oh God, we all have to have this bigger mask. And so they ran out of masks. So what did I do with my sweetheart, Zig? We went to a Tascadero and we took a shopping bag and we filled it with masks from Home Depot, brought them back to Santa Barbara, and I started handing out masks during the highest part of the fire. When Santa Barbarans were walking or jogging or in church, I would just say, do you need a mask? And it started the conversation. They would thank me and they would say, yes, I'm housing somebody who lost their home. Yes, my dog lost his best friend. His friend lived, my other friend's dog lived in that fire. We have so much trauma here, but I would hand them a mask and then I would be quiet and let them tell me their story. After the fire was over, we celebrated. We had Christmas. Many homes were saved. Many homes were not saved. But those that were saved, we celebrated Christmas. And then, you know what happened. The fires were over. The smoke was gone, but we still had the ash. And then we had the rain. Rain like we have never seen before.
Wow. And that rain, didn't come with the fires, yes.
Absolutely. January 9th at 3:30 a.m. when people were sleeping, many were told to evacuate. They didn't because they were so traumatized from the fire that they were so glad to be home. And they said, we'll wait it out. They couldn't wait it out. The floods were so dramatic that they pulled people out of their homes. They knocked homes off of their foundations. People were, my dear friend Josie, well, opened the door and was swept away and died. There are these stories. These traumas happened in our Santa Barbara. This happens in Bangladesh. It doesn't happen at our doorstep. We were not prepared for this. So after the fire, then came the floods. And all I could do was say, okay, I'm here. I'm safe. And I drove to the Hilton where they were being housed. They couldn't go home. It was so traumatic. They couldn't go home. They couldn't get in their houses. Their houses were filled with mud. And I went to the Hilton and I stood there and I said, I'm here. And many of them knew me because I've been here since 69. I came here to go to college. And my friends would just came up and cried. And they said, you don't know how bad it was. The newscast cannot tell you the horror my son experienced, what he saw that night, what he saw. And I said, I can't even imagine, but I'm here. And I would just say I'm here and I'd listen. And I stood in my peace, that pillar of peace that you become when you are at peace with your own soul and your own heart. And I just said, what can I do? I didn't tell them it was going to be over soon. They'll be back home. Honestly, all I could do is listen and be there as a witness to their pain. And then I said, what can I do? And the simple things that they wanted me to do, go to the store, buy them pajamas, buy them a toothbrush, whatever I could do. I said, you got it. And I came back in an hour and with hugs and smiles. These are traumatized people. They're never going to be the same. Their quiet little serene neighborhood is now filled with mud and rock. Rock so big that if you climbed them, you would think you were climbing a mountain. You've never seen anything like it. This was an old riverbed they had built in.
Wow. Wow. You know, Barbara, I wrote a book, which I'm very grateful is an Amazon number one best-selling book. And it's about communication. It's about a model called behavioral engagement. It's a model of communication and training that says when we are purely, purely, wholly present, non-judgmentally to each other, that is what real miracle and love is. That's what pure presence is to one another. And we've been doing studies on this in hospitals since 1980. And you're absolutely right. Just being there without any self agenda, without any dialogue going on in your brain, that's being an angel, really.
Oh, bless you for writing the book. Bless you.
Well, that's being an angel. And, well, look at all that you're writing. And tell us about the organizations you belong to, or you've started or belong to, or you're working administratively with so many organizations. So please share with us.
Thank you. I've had the good luck to do that. But your book reminded me of my book. My book is called Revolutionary Conversations, The Tools You Need for the Success You Want. That book took us 5 years to write. When my late husband got in,
into kind of memory loss, I started writing this book with Mark Fowler and Noel McDonald. And that was how I saved myself, writing down these moments of how you can have a conversation, even though it seems impossible, because I was with Robert when we were in working with some of the peace negotiations, and I'll be darned, they weren't working. And I thought, what are they missing? What's lacking here? And I realized they didn't have the simple tools that would allow a person to have a conversation without, with, as you said, judgment, to be engaged, purely engaged with that person. And so we put this five steps, the simple five steps that are harder than heck to practice, but these simple steps, I always have them in my pocket. And so, like, if I'm in a grocery store or I'm talking to somebody and my board, we use these five steps to keep the board on track. We used to have board meetings for my United Nations Association that would last 3 hours. Now they last 1 hour, and we get more done because we use these five steps that allow a person to navigate any conversation and to allow this to be the way that they communicate for effectiveness. And to be successful. What a concept, right?
What a concept. And you have to tell us the five steps, Barbara.
Well, I'm going to go to the preface of my book, and I'm going to tell you what's on page IIX. It says, stop the conversation for clarity. Help is number two. Help develop an environment for support and teamwork. Three, ask questions for better understanding. Risk, presenting new ideas and opinions, and finally, the one I love, explore. But you don't do it until you go through the other ones. Explore ways to develop collaborative results. I always tell people, why do we stop at a stop sign? So we can go forward and be safe. So we stop the conversation for a quick overview of what's going on. Now, if I'm talking to someone who may have a different opinion, I may say, can I stop for a minute and ask you a question? I need a little help to understand why you're asking me to do this, and can I ask this one little question, and then I'll ask the question. And then if I think the answer is moving along in a way that we can have a conversation, I'll say, I'm going to take a risk here, and I'm going to ask you if I can focus on a way to do this, and then you help me explore it. Literally, stop, help, ask, risk, explore, sell, share, and that's our concept, S-H-A-R-E.
Wow, that's really great. So you just memorize that, and then you practice it until it's part of who you are.
Go to revolutionaryconversations.net and watch the interview with Sharon Byrne. It's 2 seconds long. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's 15 seconds long. And she said, and you think you can do this? I took the workshop. It's hard to stop and have a conversation with somebody who is on the opposite pole. And she said, well, you can learn how to do it. And then she just goes on and says, it's possible. And this was a Republican talking to a Democrat who were totally opposite directions on immigration. And they came to a meeting that wasn't necessarily opinionated, but a meeting of understanding. What a concept.
I know. That's incredible. So there's so many resources with you. It's so exciting. What about
Thank
the organizations?
You.
You've got organizations that you're,
right.
that you're dealing
I have.
With.
I do, and I thank you for asking. I am president of the United Nations Association, which is 190 chapters around the United States. And I'm sure there's one in your area. And if you want to check out ours, it's unasb.org. If you go there, you'll see my picture. You'll see the articles I've been writing, How You Stand in the Impossible. You'll see my board. But the most important part, get out and be active. Let the world know how you feel with your body and your words. Be the solution to the problem just by who you are. And let that just resonate. So then, after the World Peace Conference in 2016, Mark Fowler and Rudy and I started the Rotary E-Club of World Peace. I don't have time to drive to meetings, eat a lunch every week, but I can sit in my office and I can hear from the best people on the planet, like yourself, in an hour conversation where we ask questions. And we have members of that club, the Rotary E-Club of World Peace, from all over the world. And they come on with Zoom. Some come on at 3 o'clock in the morning because that's where they are. But they wouldn't miss it because there's something about finding peace in harmony with the speaker. we are all on the same page. And then we ask him questions, and we have those recorded. So if you want to go back and hear Dot Maver or Henry Oster, they're all recorded, and they're there for you to enjoy and to learn from.
How wonderful that you have the resources and the skills and the talent to be able to interview and identify and catalog all of these wonderful peacemakers around the world. And now, has there been some kind of a conference where they all come together, or have you been doing a could you tell us about that?
Well, the first conference was 2016. And again, it goes to Peace Conference 2016, peacconference.org. Just go there and you can listen to some of those speakers. In 2020, we're going to have another global peace conference for Rotary, and it'll be in Ontario. But just go to Rotary eClub of World Peace for the latest information. You know, we're really powerful. We're more powerful than we realize. These set of tools are so simple, and yet they work. They work, and these people, they give me all of these great accolades about, this is not another, here's what one of my reviewers said, opens up the preface explaining the program's origin, and it allows for a more natural flow of language, thought, and communication that doesn't stop because it's filled with buzzwords. It allows you to have the conversation that you've been putting off, the conversation that you haven't had, or to rehab a conversation with somebody that you thought, hey, this could go better. Let's try it again.
Isn't it great? I mean, when you think about it, but it's all about intention, Barbara, right? It's what is the intention? Excuse me. What is the intention that we're holding when we're speaking with others, when we're thinking about others, when we're looking at other people? One of the most amazing things, and I was just reading an article today about, you know, success in the business world and what have you. We don't realize how transparent everything is about us. We think people don't know what we're thinking. We think people don't know what we're feeling. And yet the body reveals, the body language, everything just speaks to where we're coming from. So it's a wonderful thing to realize that if we calm our mind, if our mind is peaceful, if our mind is non-judgmental, if our mind is accepting and loving, then people pick that up and they like you, and there is peace, because no matter how hostile, I'm sure you must have something to say about this, no matter how hostile or how aggressive somebody is, when you are in front of them without any thoughts running through your head, no criticism, no judgment, no comments about them or bad observation, they like you. And if you're sitting there doing the opposite, they may not like you.
Right. And you've been around people like that who think everything is going to turn out badly, and they don't focus on what they want. Focus on what you want so you can have that genuine, meaningful attitude. And shift those patterns. You know, we all were born beautiful, uninformed. We were not filled with anger. We were not filled with those things that make us judge others. But we have to get rid of those ingrained patterns that say, oh, I don't like you. I can tell where you're coming from. I would never say that to anybody. I would say, God bless you, you're here. My grandmother, Levi, she was living in Denver with her children after her husband committed suicide, and here she was with her kids, and they were poor. They were picking up coal from the train. They were trying to eke out enough money to pay the rent and get food on the table, and a bum would come to dinner. They had one chicken and 14 potatoes, and my grandma would say, God sent you. Come on in and enjoy our dinner. That was my grandmother, so I have it in my DNA to be available. Right.
That's wonderful. We need to take another break. We're going to come back, and we'll only have 9 minutes left. And when we come back, I hope that you will share with us your plans for world peace and the projects that we can, maybe we can all get involved in. Maybe you can share with us, Barbara, some of the amazing things that are going around the world and the United States and in our region, and some of the wonderful efforts that are being made on the part of you, your organizations, and so many others for world peace. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
And we're back with Barbara Gahn Muller. Barbara is an author. She's a motivational speaker. She's a visionary. She's a leader. She is a global peace entrepreneur. She's so many things that it is. I could go on and I could keep talking about her. Before the break, I asked Barbara to come back and talk to us about all the projects that she's working on and the kind of projects some of us may be able to contribute to around the country. If you could talk to us about that, that'd be fantastic.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I just want to honor you
And thank you for having this kind of an interview. I haven't had an interview like this in a really long time, and I'm so grateful. And I want people to know that you can find peace, even in traumatic situations. And you can have peace in your home by just putting the little corner of your, have a dedicated corner of a bedroom or a library or wherever you are. I have my peace corner in the kitchen because I want to remember to eat in peace and to love my partner that I'm with and to have peace begin with me and start that conversation. Last night I had my board meeting. Get active. Get involved with the United Nations Association. There's 190 chapters. Just go to UNAUSA.org and find a chapter near you and make your voice be heard. Be part of the global voice. Go to my website, revolutionaryconversations.net. We're going to start a bunch of home visits, people who have read Revolutionary Conversations, so that they can have a conversation cafe in their own home. Maybe an hour once a week, you bring together a few cookies and a cup of tea, and you talk like we did in the old days. Remember the old days?
Oh, yeah.
Where you would have these conversations. We're too busy to have a conversation. We'd rather be on our iPhone. So people have lost that tool, the tool of a good conversation that cares about each other. And so with that, I say, have that conversation. Don't be afraid to talk to people about what you care about. Make your voice heard. Let people know you want peace on the planet. You want peace in the home. You want peace in your neighborhood. It starts with you and with the power that you were born with to use your voice, to listen to this wonderful show, get the inspiration, become inspired, and share your inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Barbara, how do you find the younger generation? They almost seem to be reminiscent of the Peace Corps people back in my day,
mm-hmm.
our day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There seems to be a renaissance of caring and service and bringing people together through humanity and extending our kindness and our concern for others.
Uh-huh.
How do you find that generation?
I totally agree with you. The power is with the people, and we have to remember that our power is with the people. And the people are who are speaking now. These youngsters who are against gun control are for gun control and not to be going to school and be unsafe. They're making their voices heard. Make your voice heard. Join some of the organizations in your neighborhood or in your school. Be part of the solution and think the thoughts that make the world a better place. And read a book. Read this wonderful book you said on behavioral engagement. Read our book, Revolutionary Conversations. My late husband's book, Most of All, They Taught Me Happiness. And he just really brought out the fact that our precious planet flourishes when we all help it become what it can be, the paradise it should be.
Yes, and you said something really profound that I thought about and would love for you to repeat it for the audience. We were talking about your husband. We were talking about you. We were talking about feeling happy and being kind and generous and purposeful. You
mm-hmm.
were saying that without us finding our mission, without us finding
mm-hmm.
our purpose,
mm-hmm.
that we really are kind of unhappy without that. And you were commenting about the work that your husband did. It sounds like he was doing some extraordinary work. Do you want to talk about purpose? Do you want to talk about how do we let in, how do we receive our purpose in life? Because that seems to be a big theme with peace and happiness.
It is, and it's a good question because people forget that happiness is really a tool to discover your joy of purpose, to discover your joy of mission, and it's a way to say, well, wait a minute here. I'm miserable doing this. This must not be my destiny. This must not be my purpose, but I have to do it. Okay, in the case of what you have to do, you do, but then you pay attention. Hang out with those people who shout your values. Bring yourself to people who and motivate you to be more of who you are, those who support you, inspire you. I had a really good friend, Mary Ellen Kelly, and she wrote a book called Wisdom for the Way, Messages from the Ancestors. She would take me to breakfast every single week and share with me, boy, the things that she would tell me about myself. And she would encourage me to do more. and be so loving. So be in a loving relationship with friends, with your family, with whatever makes your joy explode. Let your joy out and your enthusiasm, because the dark forces are there. But with that joy and that love, there's light. With that joy and that love, there is laughter. There's gratitude. If you're not happy right now, start a gratitude journal. It saved Oprah. We can do it. I have a gratitude journal, and every day I put something in there I'm grateful for. And I'm going to go back to a minute for my Aunt Mary. Aunt Mary said, if you're not happy, sit down and smile. Your subconscious won't know it. And pretty soon you watch what happens to your body. You're all of a sudden, you're cheerful again, even in the worst situations.
Absolutely. It's quite remarkable how everything's wired together, isn't it? What we think, how we present ourselves, our behavior, the way we express ourselves and our feelings, so that everything's connected to everything. And if our intention is to be happy, if we want to be happy, we can be happy. And that's truly one of the most wonderful and remarkable things for us to realize, is that happiness, peace and happiness go together. How can we be happy if we're not peaceful? And how can we be peaceful if we're not happy?
And we're not talking authentically happy. We're talking authentically happy. We're not talking about that giddy happiness that comes when you've had 16 beers. I'm talking about authentic soul happiness that allows you to really realize you were born for a purpose. And your purpose is manifesting itself through the joyful encounters you have, through the moments when you just feel on fire. Sometimes my being on fire is my meditation in the morning. I'm just so grateful I'm alive. I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, God, I'm here. And let's see what we can do today together. And I don't get my piles all cleaned up in my office, but I get my joy spread. And that's my goal. If I can spread my joy and be there for another person, I've lived a good day.
Well, it's all about gratitude. And as you and I shared on the pre-interview, St. Ignatius said, all suffering begins with ingratitude. So when we're not grateful, when we really don't appreciate the incredible gifts of life that we're given, it's so easy. It's so easy to fall into conflict and unhappiness and to be not peaceful. Barbara, you have been one of the most fun guests I have had in a very long time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It's just delightful. Let's talk about your website. Where can people find you?
All right, revolutionaryconversations.net, and then rotaryeclubofworldpeace.org, and then my husband, robertmueller.org, and his book was Most of All, They Taught Me Happiness, and one of his chapters is he was under the Nazi rule and how to be happy even in prison. And what do you do with naysayers? He tells you what to do with them. It's just a book of joy. And his, as we said, why did you write a book on happiness? And he said, because happiness is the way to peace, and peace is power.
Exactly. Well, we couldn't end on better words. Barbara, I thank you so much for joining us today. And audience, join us again for the next inspiring and uplifting show on Living Above the Drama. Thanks again, Barbara. Blessings
to you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.